Lucas on Life.
Hello, welcome to Lucas on Life. I'm Jeff Lucas, and at the end of a busy and, I hope, happy Sunday, thanks so much for joining me. Over my years as a follower of Jesus, there have been quite a few answers to prayer, unusual happenings, and some outright miracles along the way. Now, don't get the wrong idea. My Christian walk has not meant that I've hopscotched from one supernatural experience to another, but the pathway has certainly been punctuated with some head and heart-turning episodes. It's been said that God is always at play throughout the earth, which might seem somewhat irreverent to a few, but it's true that I've seen more than my share of God doing odd stuff. And that's what we're talking about tonight, here on Lucas on Life on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas. You're listening to Lucas on Life, and this is Premier Christian Radio. When I began my Christian journey, I wish I'd known that God often does odd stuff. I'm biased, but I think we Brits produce some of the best TV drama in the world. Bitterness nips me when, while out of the country, I try to log on to my TV catch-up services online, only to be told that I am not allowed. I pay my license fee, so surely there should be a way. Sorry, end of rant. Anyway, Kay and I had watched a comedy series all the way through in a mammoth binge-watching session, and we'd enjoyed it thoroughly. The series ended, and we heard that it was not going to be renewed. It's strange, isn't it, when you mourn the loss of entirely fictional characters that you've never met, but once we knew that our time with their story was ended, we felt irrationally sad. Some weeks later, now back in America, I had a dream about the series. It included the principal character and one of the supporting actresses. I dreamed that she had died in real life and that he was heartbroken at the loss. In my dream, he was giving a press statement paying tribute to her fine acting skills and said that she would be greatly missed. I woke up in a sweat. The dream had been so vivid. Eventually, getting back to sleep, I immediately dreamed the same dream. I woke up again, then went back to sleep and had the same dream again. Wide awake now at 3 a.m., I wondered, what was all this about? Wandering into my study, I sat down at my computer, Googled that lead actor's name, and pressed news. And that's when everything got very odd indeed. An hour earlier, that actor had issued a press release about that colleague, saying how sad he was at the news of her passing. While I was dreaming that she had died, she died. This was crazy. I sat staring at my computer screen for a very long time, wondering why on earth this had happened. I couldn't believe that this was just a random coincidence. God had something to do with this. But what and why? I did what I usually do when I'm bewildered, which is often, I prayed. And it was then that a wild thought landed in my mind, seemingly out of nowhere, which is usually how I hear a whisper from God. Make contact with that actor and tell him that I love the people that he loves. What? That was crazy. For one thing, I had no way of getting hold of this household name. And then the message that I was supposed to deliver was strange in itself. There was no overt mention of Jesus being the one who gives hope, no invitation to come to Christ, just this: God loves the people that you love. So I turned to Facebook and I searched for the actor's fan page, which can have unlimited subscribers. And unsurprisingly, he had millions, literally. There was no way that I could make a meaningful connection through social media. I sat back in my chair pondering, and then I remembered that a distant friend, one that I'd not seen for years, had had some contact with this celebrity earlier in life, before he became famous. Perhaps he might still have a connection. So I emailed him, and I very quickly got a response. Not only were the two still connected, but they were getting together for a meal within a few days. This was getting very interesting indeed. With some hesitation, I emailed again, sharing the details of the dream that I'd had, the timing of it, and the message that I felt was behind it. I added that I wasn't asking for any personal contact with the celebrity in question. In fact, I wasn't asking for anything except for a message to be passed on. To my delight, my friend responded, saying that he was willing to be the messenger. A week went by. My email box chirped that I had a new message, and it was my distant friend. Those two had got together. Details of the dream had been passed on. The actor's response had been a stunned silence, but he'd asked my friend to pass on his heartfelt thanks. So what has all of this led to in his life? I have no idea. But again, I do know that God does odd things at times. That's not a license for craziness, but when we feel nudged by the Holy Spirit and careful consideration suggests that we're on track with being part of something that God is up to, we need to get with his program. What about the identity of that by now world-famous celebrity? I promised back then that I would never reveal publicly who he is, and I'm going to keep that pledge. Who knows, perhaps God might trust me with another dream for someone else sometime. As I look back, thinking about my Christian journey, I'm so grateful. I'm a stumbling soul, one who has had a spiritual stagger rather than a consistent walk. If I'm spared, 20 years from now, I'll surely look back and rue the fact that there were many things that I wish I'd known. The fresh-faced teenage convert that I was is no more, but the need to learn every day continues. During the four or so decades that God and I have been ambling along together, he surprised me by being kinder than I ever imagined he could be. And again, there are times when he does some things that do seem very, very odd. Wherever you are in your Christian trek, or if you're still considering beginning a journey with Jesus, may that be your discovery as well. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio. I'm Jeff Lucas, and tonight I'm sharing some of the stranger episodes that have happened to me during my own Christian walk. I looked across the sea of faces that made up the Sunday morning congregation. I was preaching that morning about pain, about the feelings that come to us when sometimes God seems a billion miles away or even not there at all. During the message, I'd been very honest about my own Christian journey. As I mentioned earlier, God has been very kind to me. My life has been filled with his intervention and provision. One would think that doubt would never be a problem, but it's not so. There are the unexpected moments when, for a while, I wonder. Doubt sometimes pounces upon my shoulder for no discernible reason. I'm driving home after preaching at a service somewhere, perhaps one of those services that seems to have been especially kissed by the presence of God. Perhaps there have been those who've decided to become followers of Jesus that night. Others have been kind enough to tell me that they felt strengthened because of something that I've said or a book that I've written has helped them. And so I should be feeling encouraged and faith-filled as I peer through the relentless windscreen wipers and point the car homeward. But doubt does not just come to me when I observe great pain and suffering, the arbitrary scrawl of evil upon our planet. Sometimes it's in the aftermath of blessing that I feel this pressing in of the question mark in my head. What if there is no God? What if I made a terrible wrong turn in my life journey? After all, I became a Christian when only 17 years old, an impressionable age of naivety. Don't young people sign up for all kinds of things and then discover their enthused errors later in maturity? What if my conversion was just the result of an excited crowd, a convincing preacher, the peer pressure to believe, and the need to belong? And so, that Sunday morning, I'd been really vulnerable and told the congregation about my life night battles with belief. I assured them that if they themselves struggled, that they were normal human beings, not great sinners. The inability to fully understand and the imperfect faith that results is part of the human condition. Paul laments to his Corinthian friends that we see life but through a distorted lens. The great hope of the Christian is that one day we will see clearly with eyes that will focus on Jesus. In the meantime, we find ourselves, figuratively speaking, on the dark side of the moon, with glimpses of the glorious God, but surrounded by the pervasive darkness and distraction that comes with life on earth. As I talked like this with the congregation, I could feel a sense of relief sweeping over them, the release that comes when you discover that it's okay to struggle, to wonder, and sometimes to doubt. And I told them about the Jesus who had so identified with the human condition of life on the dark side that he had cried, "God, where have you gone?" as he hung on the cross. When Jesus sobbed out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" it was a genuine question. Knowing as we do that this utterance was a fulfillment of prophecy, we can begin to think of his cry as some kind of script reading as he neared the end. But Jesus had neared the end of his life on earth with the question that is the hymn of the human condition. God, are you there? Are you interested? Are you with us? Anyway, it was time to draw my sermon to a close. I'd encourage my listeners to be honest about their doubts, to neither be fearful nor paralyzed by them. I'd pointed them to the Jesus who came to the very fullest heartbreak of what it can mean to live on this earth. And now I wanted to call them to a new day, not of glib certainty or triumphalist hollowness, but to a quiet trust in the God who has been to the dark side and back. I started to use phrases as I wrapped up my sermon, phrases like new dawnings, new beginnings, new days. And it was then that I heard a noise coming from behind me from the deserted platform. I couldn't identify either the sound or the source, but I definitely heard a repetitive sound, and the congregation heard it too, and they were nudging each other and pointing towards the platform, murmuring their speculations. I quickly asked them for silence, to just listen. And there was the sound again, over and over, the sound of a cockerel crowing. Cock-a-doodle-doo, cock-a-doodle-doo. Repetitive, crystal clear, the sound emanated from the platform that was empty except for the instruments and equipment that the worship team was using. I clambered onto the platform and searched for the source. And as I searched, the realization of the incredible timing of this interruption hit me. I'd been talking about a new day, a new dawning, cue rooster, dead on time to the very second. But where was the sound coming from? It was coming from a key ring, one of those novelty items that has an electronic alarm built in. One of the worship team owned this and always left it on the platform when she sat down to listen to the sermon. It had never performed before. I held the microphone down to the key ring, and the electronic rooster did its work, the noise reverberating now around the auditorium, the noise of a new day, the noise of a wake-up call. I was embarrassed then, and I'm embarrassed now as I share this. This is crazy, a prophetic key ring. And so I gave the congregation a choice, and I give you the same choice now as listeners. I told them that if they wanted to believe that this little interruption was just a fantastic coincidence and nothing more, then that was fine. And you, dear listener, may do the same. I also told them that if they wanted to conclude that perhaps the God who can use the foolish things of this world in order to confound the wise could speak through a key ring, then that was their choice too. It seemed to me that if he can speak through a donkey as he did to Balaam in the Bible, then key rings weren't totally impossible for him either. But it was not, and it is not for me to force a conclusion on others that leans one way or the other. But I have a right to my own conclusion, and for what it's worth, I think that God was involved in another very odd moment. Something happened to my faith that morning. I felt less able to understand God, more able to trust him. I feel even more willing to not have all the slick answers. It's actually a relief. It's a good thing that God uses foolish things of this world, like speaking donkeys, like maybe talking keyrings. And occasionally, me. Tonight, I've shared a couple of episodes which, let's face it, are really quite strange. And I'll leave you to your own conclusions about them. I'll be sharing a few more this week. What is absolutely certain is that this God that we serve, he calls us to trust him when we can see clearly what he's doing, when it seems that he's silent, and when what he does seems really strange indeed. Have a great week. Lucas on Life.